Well, happy Friday, everyone. You've tuned into the FDN Fantastic Friday Call once again this week. I am your host, Brandon Molay, for this week. And, guys, we love coming to you each week and connect with you and let you know what's going on in FDN land and help answer some questions, give you some support no matter where you are in the process. If you're, you know, in the training course right now, in the middle of it, working through it, getting trained up to be a practitioner. If you've already graduated and you're doing that work out there and you want to chime in and make a comment, ask a question, or even considering becoming an FDN practitioner yourself, that's what this call is for. So don't always know what you're going to get on the call. Maybe just questions. Sometimes it's an interview. That's actually what we have today. Really look forward to talking with our guest today. I've got to know her over the years here, and I consider her a colleague and a friend, and look forward to interviewing, because we're next few weeks here, up until the FDN conference, we're going to be interviewing, and Reed's been doing some, I've been doing some also, interviewing the speakers that we have, because we've got some new faces in the lineup this year, which is really awesome. And it's even more gratifying when a lot of the speakers at the FDN conference are practitioners themselves, FDN practitioners. That's really awesome. So we have great people that come into the course with the background already, and they're adding FDN to what they're doing already. Or, like a lot of us, we're FDN's kind of our big jump and our start, and then you never know where that can grow to, what kind of influence you can have, what you can do. So, so if you guys don't know, the FDN conference is coming up. Very, very soon, November 1st through the 3rd. I was just double-checking all my accommodations and things, make sure I'm good to go for the conference this year. So 1st through the 3rd, San Diego, California. It's actually our second conference. If you haven't heard about it, you probably haven't been connected well, because it's been all over everywhere we can, letting you guys know about what's involved, what you have to do to get there. Everything we're going to be featuring and going through. So it's going to be a tremendous time. It's one of the best things you can do as far as your business, as far as being a practitioner, to come to the FDN conference, if at all possible. It's just a tremendous thing that, you know, you do the best you can long distance working and talking, but there's something about coming together one place and just being, I guess, totally immersed in what we do and learning about the heart of FDN, of this company, this organization or course or whatever words you want to use to describe what we do, Reed's vision, to be able to experience that is something that it's hard to accomplish when you're not together. So something definitely to do the best you can to make it. You won't regret that the trip there. So it is October 18th, 2019. So, again, that conference is coming up super quick. And thrilled to see you guys in person and hang out here a little bit. Actually, I've got our guest on the line here today, and I'm going to bring her home in just a second here. But I do want to say hello to not really a guest, but the founder of FDN, Reed Davis. Reed, are you on?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me okay, Brandon?
Yeah, you're coming through fine.
Hey, man, great job. I'm so happy to be here, and I jumped on because Kendra is one of my favorite FDNs of all time. She's doing a fantastic job out there, has really contributed to the, what do you call it, the group sourcing of FDN. You know, I mean, I started it in 2008, and it was, you know, I stood in front of a bunch of people and went over 200 slides. That was it. You know, it was a weekend thing. And as everyone knows, I've interviewed every grad ever, and said, how can I make this better? And so that was 11 years ago. And now it's obviously quite a robust, full-blown course with the mentoring, with the self-testing, with the all the labs, all the protocols, the onboarding. You know, we just try to teach you how to go out and do it in the world. And I actually just got off the phone with the new trainee, someone who just signed up last week. And, you know, what I said was, look, go through the course and any ideas you get, go do it if it does some good in the world. And if I can help you, let me know. In other words, I said, look, in 10 minutes, I got to be on the call with Kendra Perry, who's someone who, you know, came along and did FDN and liked it. And I remember doing something personal. So I was back then, I was doing some of the mentoring, and she was very excited and just doing a great job, especially in Canada, where it's a little bit harder to do FDN, but her attitude was right, and it was about that. And then, you know, she didn't slow down and just do FDN, which is an amazing thing. Her idea was to have another quote. How can I make this better? In other words, I call it group sourcing. So Kendra has her own HTMA course, which I hope she'll talk a little bit about. And she's out there doing that and building her business. So that's just one person who came along with and just was very enthusiastic about doing good in the world. And FDN has become kind of a stepping stone in that direction. And Kendra's paying it back, in a sense, paying it forward, as they say, where like, hey, if this is now a group source thing, it's not just Reed's ideas, it's everyone's ideas. And let's all contribute to the betterment of the world and the ability of people to control their own health and their own destiny and their own happiness in that regard. You know, others, and just quickly, and I'll turn it back over, but that was Kendra's idea. Now, another person who I love, who has been on the spotlight, like Debbie O'Meara, for instance, her idea is to go start a big brick and mortar wellness center. All these doctors working there, but she, guess what? She runs all the lab. She does all the lab work. So she's helped us. Her contribution has been, hey, what other labs can I run? Can we? So we've actually brought on another lab testing program. Why? Because there's a demand for it. Because it's a group sourced movement. You know, FDN as a methodology has grown and grown and grown because of great people like you, Brandon, who are your idea is to build your own practice. And also to be a mentor to these wonderful people coming through. And so you can really benefit by joining the FDN community and then be creative and pay it forward, you know, make it a group source thing. Don't be shy. Just put your flag up there next to ours and we'll all clap together, you know, we'll all cheer it on, salute, and do the work that needs to be done. So it didn't mean to be too long-winded there, my brother, but you can take it back from there. And I'm very excited to hear. No. Kendra, how are you doing? Why don't you go ahead and say hello?
Hi, Reed. Hi, Brandon. Thank you so much for saying that, Reed. That, like, I almost, like, teared up a little bit there, like getting emotional.
we don't mind that around here.
Definitely. Yeah, we are family, right?
Exactly. Exactly right. So just a quick bio, guys. If you don't know who Kendra is, I think you would, because obviously, like Reed said, FDN practitioner, mentor for a while, clinical advisor for the medical director program, and then I think maybe our official first AFDNP director. So, you know, taking that baton there from Reed's idea and starting to build it up there. So the contribution to FDN, really, you go back through that list there. This isn't even her professional bio, but for you guys out there, what you're experiencing, what you're doing right now, there's some definitely some credit for Kendra on this. So she's been spearheading into a lot of those things. So she knows FTN well and has taken all that knowledge and experience there and parlayed it into, you know, amazing training courses in a couple of different areas, you know, with the HTMA, with also the business building aspect of things. And so as far as official bio goes here, I'll read this. She's a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner and business coach who helps up-and-coming health professionals master hair tissue mineral analysis testing, plus consistently generate 10K-plus per month using a minimalist business model. She's a co-host of the 360 Health Biz podcast, where she teaches online business and continuing education and functional health topics for the health coach. She's also a passionate outdoor enthusiast. If you haven't followed her at all, you see lots of amazing pictures. It must be absolutely beautiful there in Canada. Adrenaline junkie. And in her free time, you'll find her scaling mountains with skis, bikes, harnesses, and ropes. And you can follow there on Instagram at K Perry Nutrition or on YouTube, Kendra Perry Nutrition there. But again, Kendra, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. It's Yeah, it feels very nostalgic to be back here on the Friday call.
Yes, I think you've co-hosted a few times with me, so that's really cool.
I have, yeah.
Well, I think one question I always like to ask people interviewing there is, you know, how did this all get started for you? How did you get into the world and what we do here with natural health and functional work?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and I feel like my life was on a very different path before I found FDN, and I actually had a very sort of pivotal moment where I realized that I needed to make a change. And for me, that was actually like lying on a hospital bed with my knee wide open because I was getting knee surgery because I had this dream of being a professional skier. And I had jumped off a cliff and I'd fallen and I'd blown my knee. And initially the surgeon thought it was just a quick fix. He was just going to do this exploratory surgery, clean up a little meniscus. And when they got in there, he told me that my ACL was in shreds. And I sort of realized in that moment that, well, I don't think I'm going to be a professional skier. Like, this is a big surgery. It's reconstructive. It's going to take years to heal. And then at the time I was also working in forestry. So I was designing clear cuts or cut blocks for logging operations. And my whole job was walking around the bush. So I kind of felt a little bit lost. I didn't quite know what to do. I didn't know how I was going to make money. I didn't know who I was. If I wasn't a skier, my identity was very much tied up within that. And so I actually started to blog, and I started my first blog, Crazy Happy Healthy. And I'd always been a writer and I'd kind of forgotten about that hobby. And so I got back into that and started blogging, tried to make it as a blogger, didn't quite work. And then I actually found out about FDN on Sean Croxton's old podcast. I think Underground Wellness was the name of it. And I took the course and then I decided to build this online health coaching business.
Well, that's quick, but I know it's taken years to do that and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and a lot of learning and growth and things like that. So, you know, when I think about you, I think about, you know, of course, the HTMA side of things. So I know I feel like that you're mostly responsible maybe for a resurgence of HTMA and the use of that and the power of that test within FDN, because I know when I took the course 10 years ago now, it was part of it, but I think it kind of got lost a little bit, at least as far as in the spotlight, the public eye there for FDNs. And so to see that come about, you to work that way, but then also to take it next level and try to help people build their business as well. So you've got so many cool things going. So there's a lot of you've got a lot going on, which is tremendous.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm really excited to kind of get HTMA back out there into the world because, yeah, I mean, I was the same. When I was a trainee, I ran an HTMA and I was super fascinated by it. But I think whoever was responsible for kind of like bringing it in, maybe they left FDN. I'm not sure what happened. But yeah, it kind of fell off the radar. And then it came back on my radar later on in my practice with my own health personally, and then with some of my clients who weren't really getting the results that I wanted them to. And so I started learning about it and then I became obsessed with it. And I think a lot of other FDNs have also become obsessed with it. The course has been very popular and it's been a very easy thing to market and sell because I think people are just so interested in it.
I've seen it said as the sixth FDN lab. So I suppose if we put it out there, Reed, you put your seal of approval on that. But I think it ranks right up there with a really important test to be thinking about and doing. And I don't know, Reed, maybe go back in the archives there a little bit. And what is the history of HTMA with FDN? I know it goes back a little ways.
You know, it actually is something that Bill Wolcott, who's our metabolic typing guru of sorts. I mean, he is the world's leading authority in metabolic typing. Now, it was one of the very few tests that he ever ran. So, you know, I read Bill's book and got into metabolic typing at the time. And there was a certified metabolic typing advisor program, which I took and finished. And that gave me access to the certified metabolic typing exam, you know, how to get metabolically typed. And then there's this kind of like this sub training or additional training you could get on the HTMA. So Bill found it to be, but matter of fact, there's part of it he really didn't like, but he really liked the ability to look at metals, of course, and then these ratios of minerals. So, you know, there's the mineral levels was one thing, but more like the ratios. He could sort of predict adrenal and thyroid dysfunction through the ratios. And then, of course, you know, exposure to things like metals can be critical in a certain person. And so it's not something he would do initially, but the first thing you'd always do is get someone on a metabolic typing diet, get them living right and taking their supplements. And then you'd do the HTMA to see what lingers. And then you would go through, you know, he's a big guy on detox, like liver flushes and things like that to sort of detox. So that's the original context that it came to me in. And that's what I've used it for. And so, you know, Kendra is taking it to a new level of purpose. And I think everyone wants to know Kendra, what is the most common reason someone uses it?
Yeah, so I mean, I use it for so many reasons because you can actually get a ton of information about the body just because of the way that the minerals act and the processes that they are involved in the body. So yeah, you can talk about thyroid and adrenal. You can kind of see what's going on with thyroid and adrenal health, but you can also learn about blood sugar, the nervous system, stress response, stomach acid. The metals I find are incredibly important, and I think they're becoming increasingly more important to pay attention to just because I think our world just keeps becoming more toxic. You can learn about, you know, is the liver congested? Is B12 being absorbed? You can learn sort of indirectly about the vitamins when you understand their relationship with minerals. So you can go pretty deep with it. And I mean, I'm often on all different types of tangents and rabbit holes with HTMA because the more I learn about it, the more I learn how much you can do with it.
It's amazing. It's so powerful. I had personally, how I got back into it. I ran an HTMA early on, a couple of those on myself, and I had a client that just said, "Hey, I really think my minerals are off, and I think I have heavy metals. So I'd like to, you know, I want to do the five labs here you do, plus I want to look at that." I said, "Okay, well, we can do that." And the effect that it had on his case and his body, how much of an important component it was, that ignited something in me. I said, maybe this is something I need to revisit. And that was just an amazing, amazing transformation there. And to get the information, I'm kind of one of those obsessed people with HTMA at this point. Everything is kind of ran through that lens there. It's tremendous. And Kendra and I have spent lots of hours together talking and me learning from her mostly about this work. It's amazing. So maybe talk a little bit about how did the course you have, how did that come about?
Yeah, so I was, you know, once I kind of got into it, I think at one point I was sort of briefly the clinical advisor for the MDT program for HTMA before I transitioned out of FDN. And so once I left FDN, I still had people, you know, reaching out to me wanting to learn about it. You know, I was talking a lot about it on social media. And so I was mentoring like several health coaches, some FDNs, but a lot of like non-FDNs, just other people who maybe had done IIN or some other type of health coaching school. And people just kept asking me for a course. And you did too, Brandon. You were like, when are you going to create a course? And I was like, oh my God, I want to create this course. But, you know, I kind of thought it was going to be this huge undertaking. It was going to take me months and months to create it and launch it. But I actually, one of my mentors, her name's Dr. Lindsay Padilla. She runs a program called Build a Better Beta, which basically just teaches you how to launch a beta program first and then create the big deal course. And so basically I took her program, and after taking her program, I launched the course in 10 days, taught it as a live workshop over, I believe, 6 weeks, and, you know, just made the lessons each week. So every week I was creating the lessons. I taught it live through a Zoom meeting, and then that allowed me to sort of interact with all the students, and whom a lot were FDNs, and kind of give me their feedback. So I was able to sort of analyze what they said and what they felt they were missing or what they felt they wanted more information on. And I kind of put that together and created what is now the HTMA Expert course. So it was a very much like a co-creation between me and the students who took that first beta program in early 2019.
Okay. Well, that's smart. I think business-wise, that's a really good way to do that. A lot of expense and time involved in making something like that, and be able to sort of put it out there as a beta and work through that and see where it goes and get feedback. Like Reed was saying, you know, we like the FDN course. How can we make it better? That's our goal. We ask people about that, so we're trying to get people what they ask for.
Yeah, I think it's really smart, right? You got to listen to your customers and. They'll tell you if something is confusing or, you know, if something isn't clear, and it's good information to have, right? And you can use that to continually improve your programs and services and products.
Indeed. Well, Well, you guys are tuned into the FDN Fantastic Friday call today, and I should say this is a live call, so if you do want to call in and make a comment or ask a question, Kendra's open to questions. So, you know, on anything, on HTMA, we'll get to business aspects here in a second. And a good thing about Kendra is that she's not just a one-trick pony, right? So it's not just HTMA in a microscope, a myopic view of that. She's an FDN practitioner. How does that interact with everything else that we do? You know, she thinks like we do because she is one of us. So if you want to call in and ask a question, that number to do that is 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378. Just hit 1 on the keypad. I'll know that you're there, and I'll bring you on to ask a question. So if you guys are there, and I see a lot of you guys tuned in today, so appreciate the live listeners. And hey, if you missed the call too, we've got the download also, so you're going to want to download this one, I'm sure. So we'll go a little longer, then I'll take some callers here in a second. So on the other flip side here, Kendra, on your bio here, is the whole business building aspect of things. Mm-hmm. So tell us more about that. I guess, do you consider yourself, I guess you're an and, but are you a practitioner? Are you business building? Is it a little bit of both?
Yeah, so right now I am solely an HTMA educator and a business coach for health coaches. I actually don't take on any more health coaching clients besides the odd family member. But yeah, I really transitioned into the business coaching and I love it. And I actually kind of got my start with it when I was the AFDMP director. I was responsible for running a lot of those strictly business webinars. And, you know, once I started talking about the business stuff, I was kind of like, wow, like, this really lights me up. I'm really excited about this. And what I also saw was that a lot of FDNs were struggling to build their business, right? Online marketing, online business is complex. It's constantly changing. And most of us don't get into this to become experts in online marketing, right? We want to help people. We want to impact people. We want to change the world. So, you know, it can be very overwhelming. And I was just seeing a lot of really talented FDNs who have these great messages and these great abilities to help people who, you know, were struggling to get their message out there. So I started developing a lot of those strictly business meetings to try to help the FDNs, like, just get their message out there to, you know, position themselves as an expert online and just reach more people. And then when I left FDN, maybe about 6 months after that, like, I just realized how much I missed doing that. And people were reaching out to me and, you know, asking me how I built such a successful health coaching business. And so I started talking about it and then just felt so fired up about it. And I love it because I just feel like if I can help FDNs or other health coaches build their business, they could go off and help hundreds of people. So for me, what I want is to have impact. And so to me, that I feel like I do have a bigger impact when I can help specifically health coaches. So I made that full transition in spring of this year, and I love it. I'm so happy. I couldn't be more excited about my business.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I love it. I know you are helping a lot of people, including myself. So yeah, one thing when I graduated the course, Reed's advice to me wasn't, hey, go take another course, go do this, go do that. It said, go out there and get your first 10 clients. You know, that's really, yeah, that's where you become a good practitioner, by just doing the work of FDM. But obtaining those clients, that's the challenge, right? So I don't know, do you have maybe give us a couple ideas or things, some tips maybe that you would say people need to think about, maybe just FDN just graduated the course trying to build a business, maybe just a couple small tips for things you want to think about starting your business.
Sure. I've had sort of two thoughts on that. The first thing is, well, you need to figure out who you're talking to, right? I think we all want to help everyone. We're just like, we have these skills. We think we can help everyone. But if you're not specific with who you want to help, especially these days, you know, maybe 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, maybe that was a little bit different. But these days, there's a lot of people online. So you need to stand out, right? So you actually need to be very specific with who you want to help. You can't just say, I help everyone. You have to, and regardless of who you're helping, like, the great thing is, like, FDN works for everyone. We know that. Reed teaches us that. So it doesn't really matter, like, who you're helping. In the end, we're going to do, you know, generally the same process, like run your standard labs and do the dress protocol. But you do need to be talking to somebody, and you do need to be, you know, specific with who you want to help. So you really want to narrow in on, you know, what type of person do you want to help? Like, who is that person? What is the problem that they're struggling with? What are their pain points? Like, what keeps them up at night? Like, what do they really want to achieve? So that's really important. So that's kind of my first point is niching. I think niching is the most important thing. And, you know, keeping in mind that your niche is not your ball and chain. You can always switch. You can always pivot. And the only way to know what your niche is to actually get out and test it, right? You're not going to necessarily know before you've gone out there and do the work that a niche works for you or not. The other thing I want to say is the only person who will prevent you from building your online business is you. I watch a lot of health coaches get in their own way. There's a lot of fear. Growing a business is a scary thing. I don't think any of us naturally feel good being out on the internet, putting ourselves out to a bunch of strangers, right? It's scary and it's overwhelming. And, you know, I like to call it radical responsibility. Like you have full control of your life and how you want to ultimately grow your business. So you have to take responsibility and you actually have to take action. You know, you can't just build a perfect business behind the scenes and then put it out into the world. It doesn't work like that. So building a business there's a lot of mindset involved and you will watch yourself get in your own way. So it's just something to be aware of because when I work with a lot of new health coaches and a lot of them are very blocked. They have a lot of mindset stuff. They have a lot of fear. They have imposter syndrome. You know, they're worried about perfection and everything being totally perfect. And these are blocks, right? These are stories we tell ourselves. And in the end, I think the only thing that really matters is that you're out there taking action. And if you're not taking action, you're not doing anything.
Mm. That's some hard truth, but it is truth. What's that, Reed? I'm sorry. Spoke over you there.
Well, I was always told that like output equals inflow. You know, it's outflow. Outflow mm-hmm. equals inflow. So you just need to put something out there. Look, you could do mm-hmm. it laying in bed in the morning. If you put out the right thoughts, the right amount of energy into the universe, that's an outflow of sorts. Most people aren't going to rely strictly upon that, but it's an outflow. You could get up and call five people every morning. Just make five phone calls, but, you know, while you're having your coffee, your tea, or whatever. You know, they don't even have to answer the phone. It's just you leave a message and do things like that. That's an outflow. Then you have these are depending on your point of view, maybe not the highest quality outflows, but next might be to write a blog, a daily blog or a weekly blog or, you know, something like that, just some thoughts on something that's useful to other people. So these are your outflows, and you can email, and you can do things. You can go visit people. That's an outflow. It's about the highest quality contact you can have. You just go shake their hand, look them in the eye, and see how they're doing. You know, so outflow is like that. And then you look, what Kendra said is true. You just got to take action no matter what. Twiddling your thumbs or sitting there worried about it does zero good. Matter of fact, it's negative and it's a lot of time wasted. So I do start every day with some kind of gratitude session. And it's amazing. You know, I mean, I've told you guys a lot of times, I've seen, pardon the expression, a bum on the street. How does it go flip them a 20 or something? Just because I want to do a nice outflow. I get back to my office and there's someone has signed up for the course or something. It's just nice things happen to nice people, but you got to be outflowing.
Totally agree.
Exactly. Well, hey, we've got a hand raise here, Kendra. So I'm going to try to bring this person on here. So I've got 913 area code. So what's your name? What's your question for Kendra?
Hi, it's Brendan. I just wanted to say hi.
Okay, Brendan.
What's up? My favorite people hanging out, so I just thought I'd say hey real quick.
I should have recognized the area code.
Yeah, it's all good.
Oh, cool.
Kendra, super proud of you, and I am so excited to finally give you a savage hug when we meet for the first time at the conference.
Yeah, it'll
same
be
for
so
me too.
Cool. I mean, I've really never met any of the FDN people in person because I hide in my little town in Canada.
Good.
I don't leave. It's actually pretty hard to leave here, so.
Totally.
Yeah. All right. We're looking forward to that. It's going to be amazing. And everyone on the call, we hope, is signed up for the conference. If not, I'm pretty sure you can still get in.
We will definitely do our best. You don't want to miss it. You don't. It's, hey, all four of us will be there, so maybe that's somewhat of a drawing card. Hopefully so, for sure. So, Ruben, you want to hang on with us then? You kind of.
I'm just hanging out.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. I'm just hanging
out.
That's
cool. I'll leave you unmuted there. So, all right. Well, again, if you guys do want to make a comment, ask a question there. You've got quite a panel here to ask a question of today. I think we could handle about any topic I think you'd throw at us. So, again, 347-637-1378 on that. So Kenneth, speaking of the conference here, so what are you going to be bringing as a speaker to the conference this year?
Well, I am going to teach you how to make 100K with a small following. So I think that's a pretty juicy headline. I hope that draws people in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. Totally. Like you said, you've got to have – you can be a great practitioner and be able to put together a good dress protocol, but you have to have people to do that with or for.
Yeah, and what I really want to, help inspire people is that, like, you actually don't need to have this, like, massive social media following and massive email list to be successful. I grew a six-figure business with a very small email list and a very small social media following. It's not like it used to be. And, it's easy to compare yourself to other people out there who have, 50,000 Instagram followers and, they have a 10,000-person email list. But you don't actually need that. And what I'm going to teach you in that talk is how – it's actually a bigger benefit, really, to have a smaller following these days just because of how marketing has kind of shifted. So, I think it can feel overwhelming when you think, and that's how I felt, when I was a blogger, because there were bloggers out there who had 100,000 Facebook likes and, blogs were super popular back then. And everyone was hanging out on blogs. And I was just like I almost didn't want to try because I was like, I don't know how I'm going to grow a following that big. Like, that's crazy. I feel like I'm standing at the bottom of this huge mountain, right?
Yeah, so I guess has technology changed some of this, or is it people have changed, or a combination, or what are we saying here?
Well, I kind of think people have stayed the same to some degree. I mean, the technology is always changing, but I think overlying marketing principles have kind of stayed the same. When you think of how people used to market, back in the 90s, or I'm trying to think pre-internet 80s or whatever, how did they do that? Well, they went to events, right? They went and talked to each other. They networked. They went out and actually built real human relationships. And, with social media, I think initially social media kind of turned things to the point where maybe it was a little bit less personal. People call it the highlight reel. And then it's sort of come back around. People really are craving those relationships again. And online marketing, as much as you're sitting alone in your office behind your computer, you actually still have to go out and build those relationships and sort of virtually shake hands with people, if you will, and create those connections just like you used to. So in a way, I think marketing maybe hasn't really changed the way we do it has, but those kind of underlying principles of, creating connections, relationships, and real human relationships, I don't think that has changed.
I would agree with that. I feel like I do a little bit of both. The face to face is good. You build some trust. That person's the real deal. You're around them. They're not afraid to show their face. I think it's a little what you're talking about there with some people with some of their holdups. There is you can't be afraid to show your face.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean it's uncomfortable and it takes practice. People wonder how I can just hop on a podcast or a webinar or Facebook Live or whatever and just sort of talk off the cuff. Well, it's practice. I wasn't naturally good at this. If you can go back onto my Facebook page and look at videos from 3 or 4 years ago and see how uncomfortable I was, and I probably spent hours in advance writing the script and preparing and almost puking in the toilet because I was so friggin' nervous. But it's a learned skill. And the only way to get comfortable and to get good at being out there, whether that's online or whether that's in person, workshops, conferences versus webinars, Instagram, Facebook, whatever it is really to just keep doing it. And at some point it becomes second nature.
That's a good point. I think some people don't stick with things long enough. give it enough, make enough mistakes, go through some of the uncomfortable things. I mean, hosting this show, right? It was a lot more nerve-wracking a few years ago doing this. It's easier now, for sure, but you have to stick with something long enough to get good at it. And maybe talking about, you know, putting things out there, didn't you have a YouTube video that really took off at one point?
Yeah, I did actually. It's really funny. I love YouTube, by the way. I think it's fantastic. The reason I love YouTube is because it's evergreen. You know, it's a search engine and you're not going to get those viral posts. But over time, like if a video is done right and it's optimized properly to be found, it can actually bring you clients for years to come, which is actually what happened with this one video of mine. It was a video I did on SIBO, and the production quality is incredibly low. I shot it with like an iPhone 4. Which is like super crappy camera. It's blurry. You know, I have no mic. Like it's, I had no setup, but you know, the content was really good. And I lucked out with keywords, and for some reason it got, you know, a lot of traction on YouTube. And I think now it has close to 40,000 views. And, you know, to this day, it is the piece of content that brings me more clients than any other one piece of content. Like I had so many people contacting me through that one video that weren't on my email list. They weren't following me anywhere else. They literally just saw that video and they were like, this is my person and I'm going to contact her. And I literally still have people contacting me for it, even though I don't do health coaching anymore. So, you know, it doesn't matter. I guess the point of this is that it doesn't matter if you don't have like a pro video setup, or, you know, you don't need to go invest $300 on recording equipment. Like if you have a smartphone, you have all you need to make video, for example. What matters is the content, and what matters is that you're out doing it. Because in the end, like most people don't actually care about that stuff. They just want the result, the solution. They just want that content.
All right, guys. Well, good stuff so far, Kendra. So again, 347-637-1378. If you want to ask a question of me or Reed or Brendan or Kendra,
I have a question.
Any of us there. So, all right.
So, you know, there's a lot of talk about genes and genetics, and as long ago as I think 5-6 years ago, I went and attended a genetic conference where it was kind of a joke. They were just treating the SNPs, which we know you can't treat SNPs. It brings up my old complaint, if you will. But I'm not a whiner. But, you know, treating test results is the wrong way to go about it. We don't treat the test results. Kendra doesn't run an HTME and go, oh, you need more calcium. You know, she looks at it, what does it mean to an overall picture? And, you know, what are the healing opportunities? And we don't do that with what we do, you know, in any way, shape, or form. But genes have sort of come along as, you know, a factor that people are looking at. And it's another test you can run. People love tests because we're all testing nerds, right? So I ran mine. I ran my 23andMe, and I looked at, and then I took the data. You can get the raw data. You can run it through a number of software programs that will just correlate the genes with common complaints or conditions, such as I found out I have the colon cancer gene. You know, it doesn't mean it's going to happen, though. Why? Well, just because you have the gene for something doesn't mean that gene gets switched on. So genes get sort of switched on or switched off. In other words, they get expressed or not expressed. And you have these mutations that make you more likely to get that thing. And there's data on it. There's data that's been collected over the years on people's genes and then what conditions they had. So it makes sense. But what the only way to turn the genes turn on or don't is through what's called epigenetics. So there's genetics and epi. Epi means like pre-genetics, basically, or near genetics. So it's not genetics. It's how you live. And how you live determines how your genes will be expressed. That effect is called the epigenetic effect. So he spoke at our conference last year, Dr. Russell Jaffe, he owns PERC and the ELISA ACT test. He's a really smart guy. He goes around the country, speaking at doctors' conferences, because his talks are eligible for CEUs. And he usually finds a way to work in information about his own products and services into those. But he's out there just really talking to doctors all over the country. And two things he says that I really like. One is one thing he says is, the world is about 250,000 health coaches short. We're short on health coaches. We need thousands more health coaches. That's the only thing that's going to turn people's health around. But the other thing he says that's pretty cool is that he says two more things. One is we're marinating in a toxic soup. And he says that, however, what he says is that genetics is only about 8% of what determines your health. It's only 8% what's the other 92%? Epigenetics, or the word I'm using a lot lately, is the epigenome. So the epigenome is the world in which you live and your interaction with it. So your genetics are pretty much just the lackeys of your epigenome. And so now the epigenome, according to him, is a toxic soup that we're all marinating in. So I think that's a little bit on the negative side. I mean, it's bad. The environment sucks. That was the field I was in way before FDN. And it is bad. The birds, bees, air, water, and trees are all suffering with the number of chemicals in it and other factors that are negative. The epigenome is bad for us humans and animals and plants on the planet. But you can make it better. You can do things. That's what the DRESS program is. It's an epigenetic or a program. It's purely epigenetics. So it doesn't matter what your genes are. You want to know what you might have a propensity for, because there's little things you can do. Like me, I strictly avoid nitrites and nitrates, like processed food, processed meat. I can't eat it. Why? Because it's an epigenetic factor in the expression of the genes that I have. Again, they're that's the loaded gun, but we're not going to let that trigger get pulled. And so I just wanted to make that comment and see if it inspired any further comments, commentary, or questions. That the DRESS program is an epigenetic. It creates a healthy epigenome so that your genes, if you have any bad ones, can just shut the hell up. I always have to think something.
I like it. That's good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Kendra, any thoughts on the genetic side of things? Is that part of HTMA? Do we have insight into that?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with Reed. Obviously, I don't ever really focus that much on genes, just because we know that how we live our lives and the environment we live in has a way bigger factor. We we're all predisposed, and when stuff goes sideways, those genes can get turned on, and then we can end up with whatever it is that we might be predisposed to. But I'm a big I'm with Reed on this. Like, I'm a big believer in that. You have to take responsibility for your health, and it's your actions right now that are going to make the difference. And I think with kind of people's perception and conventional medicine, like we kind of blame a lot on genes. And maybe we push the blame onto genes to maybe not have to take responsibility and to blame it on something else. And I think you kind of need to, if you're going to get healthy, you kind of have to kind of be in control and realize that, you're the only one who can make a difference. Like, bad genes or good genes, if you don't take care of yourself, you're going to be sick.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, hey, we've got a caller here, so I'm going to grab this number here. I've got 831. Area code. What's your name? What's your question for Kendra?
Hi, guys. This is Jenny in Monterey, California.
Hey there,
Hi,
Jenny.
Jenny.
Hello again.
Hi, guys. So I have a comment and then a couple questions. First, I want to say that I just finished Kendra's HTMA for Experts course, and it was amazing. Oh, my gosh. I had no idea there was so much that you could get from HTMA. and for such a reasonable price for the client. It's just such a great deal, and I'm still learning, but came away with so much insight into how important it is to get their primary minerals balanced before you do a lot of detox, and ways to do that really makes sense, how to really assess what your client can handle, you know, what their vitality is. Really, really cool information. And now I'm part of Kendra's master's kind of membership. And I'm loving it because we get to go over our cases and submit other test results that she and another woman, Anna, help us to really analyze and interpret correctly and come up with the right recommendation. So thank you, Kendra. I love it.
Oh, you're so welcome. I totally know who you are, and I'm so glad to connect with you on this call, and I'm glad you love the course. Like, I'm so excited that you're in the master's program. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, this is really taking my business to the next step, and the clients, I've done 5, I think, so far. The clients are really excited about learning their results, too. And I will be at the FDN conference, so I'll get to meet everybody. Really looking
awesome.
Forward to that. Counting the days.
Cool.
Yeah. But Kendra, so I've been kind of following you on your YouTube channel now. And it sounds like you think that the Instagram TV is a really good way to do videos as well. So I'm kind of wondering, should I do both Facebook Lives as well as Instagram? I don't think you can share those two. They don't really cross over. You'd have to do separate videos. Is that correct?
Yeah, so you can share your Instagram posts to Facebook, and you can share your Instagram stories to Facebook. You can also share your IGTV videos to Facebook, which is good. So you can share them.
Oh.
Now, you know, whether you should be on either platform is like, you know, it kind of depends on who your client is, right? You know, like if your client is, you know, an elderly woman, well, she may not be on Instagram, but, you know, might probably on Facebook. Like most people are on Facebook these days, but the other thing about Facebook that's really challenging these days is organic reach on Facebook, which basically just means like getting yourself in front of people without paying for it, is really challenging these days because Facebook doesn't really want you to, and organic reach is incredibly low. Facebook Live used to get a lot of traction. A few years ago, I used to do a weekly Facebook Live that I recently stopped doing because it really doesn't get any, like, it doesn't get in front of people unless you're paying for it. But the thing I love about Instagram, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit in my conference talk, is that there's a lot more opportunities for business owners on Instagram because there's so many different ways you can engage with people and start a two-way conversation, which is very cool. And we want to make sure we're doing these days. And so the great thing about Instagram is you can connect on video in basically 3 different ways. You can do stories, live, and you can do IGTV, which is their short form 10-minute video. So personally, like I think Instagram is great because you can share it to Facebook. You can still grow Instagram organically, whereas Facebook, not so much. There are certain industries that do okay on Facebook and can still like build a pretty big organic following. But for health coaches, it's usually not my recommendation. I would usually tell people to go on Instagram and then just share it to Facebook.
Okay, that's cool. Good to know. I'm going to start doing more Instagram. And then I know that practice makes perfect, and just kind of getting over your fears and doing it, like you said, is going to be really helpful for me just to do it. And I'm sure I'll just improve organically. But is there any type of training that someone can get on how to have a good presence on these platforms?
There is, yeah. And I mean, a lot of it definitely goes into it. You know, like you want to obviously like know the platform that you're using. But I think like in terms of growing a presence, what matters the most is, well, like we said, doing it, but being consistent. And I know consistency isn't very sexy. You know, I'm sure you want me to tell you like the secret sauce, but like consistency is really important, right? Like you kind of think of it in terms of like human relationships, right? Like you had a friend who was like all about you. And she was like, yeah, Jenny, let's hang. And that happened for like a month. And then she disappeared for 3 months. And then came back and was like, hey, I'm back. Let's hang. Like, you would be like, this chick is flaky and I'm over it. Right. And that's what a lot of people do on social media, right? Like, they get really, really motivated and they like hammer, and then they just like disappear. What's really important is that you sort of consistently show up, and, you know, it's not always going to be perfect or good. And over time, you'll get better at learning about what your people actually want from you. But, you know, really just trying to be, you know, commit. Like, if you're going to do Instagram, maybe it's that you do an Instagram live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Or maybe it's that you post an IGTV video every Tuesday at 2 p.m. or whatever it is. But, like, people will come to expect that from you, and that will make them start to show up more. And once they're showing up more, you can communicate with them more, and then you start to learn about what they actually want from you. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And I'm definitely going to commit to some designated times and just do it no matter how I feel. Just like, this is my business, I'm going to do it. But I guess I'm just wondering about more practical things, like just where to look at the camera and what to do with your hands and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I would say just be natural. Like, if you like to talk with your hands, talk with your hands. Like, really, I think a lot of people try to show up on social media as who they think they should be. But,
yeah,
like, that doesn't work. That's never going to feel comfortable for you. Like, just be who you are. And if that means that you are, your hands are all over the place, or that you're walking, holding your phone, moving around the room, like, whatever you would normally talk to your best girlfriend or family like, that's really what you should be doing. And, you know, it does help, like, if you are doing a video, like, and you want to have just some points written on a post-it to keep you on track, like, just put it next to the camera. Like, just try to kind of look at the camera. Usually the big mistake people make on, like, making smartphone videos is that they look at themselves, which, you know, it's hard not to, but, you know, you just figure out where the actual camera is and just try to look there. And then that way it'll feel to other people like you're looking at them in the eyes. But,
right.
Yeah, I would just try to, like, be your natural self. And if that is weird and awkward and like, you make a funny joke, like, me personally, I drop F-bombs all the time. Like, I'm super inappropriate, but I just sort of try to be myself. And people are either going to like it or they're not. And that's okay. Like, not everyone's going to like you. And the people who don't like you, they can go follow someone else who they connect with better. Just focus on the people
okay.
who actually like you, who you are. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually love it when you drop the F-bomb.
Thank you.
It's endearing. Okay, well, thank
Can't
you so much.
It.
Very, very useful.
Heaven forbid.
All right. Well, thank you all. Love
awesome.
FDN.
Thanks, Jenny. We'll see you
thanks,
soon
Jenny.
At the conference.
Love you, too.
Yeah, see you soon.
Yeah, thanks so much. Okay. Yep, awesome. It's going to be amazing.
It is. It is. Very good. Very good. Thanks, Jane, for the call there. Tremendous. Definitely a fan there. Love to hear that. And her getting out there, too. And I think, Kendra, your answers there are it is, and a lot like this call we're doing with FDN, it's the overriding principles that we're teaching. You know, some of the nuts and bolts,
right.
Yes, but really, you're right, the overriding principle have to be there first. Otherwise, all the details and all the intricacies, they won't work with you unless you have that foundation, how you think about things.
Exactly. Totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. We've got about 6 minutes left in the call here. We'll think about wrapping it up here pretty soon. Before we close, I do want to celebrate some graduates this week. Maybe I should go ahead and do that now just in case we run out of time here. So,
mm-hmm.
And who better to get to celebrate graduates here, but obviously Reed, the founder of FDN, then AFNP director and former director and myself. So we're going to cheer. Maybe we'll do real applause this week. We'll try to do that instead of the canned applause. So we've got three to celebrate here this week, all in the United States this time. We've got Brandy Meyer from Illinois. Dave Randolph from not too far from me in Louisville, Kentucky. And then Mark Solomon from Colorado. Guys, we're super proud of you guys. Congratulations on completing the course. Good job.
Yeah.
I'm clapping.
Yeah.
All right. Woo. All right. That works. That works. Awesome. Thank
All
you.
Right.
So there's
yeah.
three more. There's a 250,000 minus three.
You know, get your butts into the AFDNP so we can work together as professionals. You know, that, again, you've got current director, past director, That's a concept that was always there from the beginning. How can I help graduates? And we formalized it a few years ago, and Kendra originally created the programs and the teamwork and the community, in a sense. I mean, there always was this sort of shadow community, but now it's official. And we're just going to add more and more benefits to that until, like, everyone wants to be part of it. There are hundreds of members, and, you know, so I think I'm not sure the demographics of most people listening to the blog talk call are trainees. Have you noticed it's more, Brendan, that, or who do you think listens the most?
I think we've got a pretty good mix. I'm going to say about probably about 50-50 mix from what I can tell, what we can tell, you know, talking to people there. I'd say about 50-50.
Mm-hmm. What I'm looking for is a way to integrate the two things. I mean, we don't need a blog talk radio show for, you know, we just need one. But maybe we could feature more things about AFDNP, have a little corner for AFDNP, or have something where it's integrated, where just anything to support the community, you know, so let's get them integrated to somehow. I always thought it was just students, you know, people who are currently going through the course, because they might want to come on and talk to the mentors and find out about, you know, I don't understand what's in lesson four, you know, or something like that. But I wanted to just lift all the boats, if you know what I'm saying. So whatever we can do to again, the idea of group sourcing, more communication. I think it's just all, you just can't go wrong the more you communicate.
Yep. That's it. We need each other. We all make each other better. I tell people with AFGMP talking about that, it's the verbal final. So, you know, it's what you can gain and learn from the community, but also what you're bringing to it. So it's both those things are going on. So we have to have that high opinion of ourselves, that it's not just what I can get, what I can give to everybody else. Well, cool. Well, we got about two and a half minutes left in the call here. So I thought, Kendra, I might give you the last few minutes here just to add anything else to what we're talking about, or, you know, where people can hear more about you, get connected, or what you're going to be talking about, the conference, whatever you want to do. We'll give you the last couple of minutes here.
Sure. Thank you so much. And yeah, I'm just really excited to, you know, even though I'm not working with FDN anymore, like, I still feel very, very much a part of the family and a part of the community. And I'm just really grateful to be a part of such a fantastic group. And I'm just so excited for all the FDNs out there to get their message, because Reed's right. I think, I can't remember who you said this, but there's not enough health coaches out there. There's way more sick people out there. And so what we're all doing just really, really matters. And so keep going. Don't give up. And if you guys want to learn more about me, you can connect with me on Instagram. I just recently changed my handle. So the one at the beginning wasn't correct. It's now Kendra Perry Inc. Oh. At Kendra Perry Inc. across all platforms. I just changed it this week, literally. And then, connect with me on YouTube. I have tons of training for business specific to health coaching business on YouTube. If you just search Kendra Perry, you will find me there. And I hope you guys are all coming to the conference. And if you see me there, come say hi, come chat with me. Just really excited to connect with all of you.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, I'll be there with bells on.
Perfect.
All right.
Hey, Brendan, is your family coming? Sorry. I just want to ask if your family is coming with you.
No, it's not going to work out where they can this time. They were disappointed where it couldn't work out, but it'll just be me flying solo again.
All right, man. Well, we'll see you guys. Looking forward to it. Love you. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Cool. All right, guys. Thanks for being on with you. And, again, talk to you guys next week. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.